Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Driving with Anxiety: 9 Tools to Make Your Anxiety Work for You is a self-help and mental health book by David H. Rosmarin, a psychologist, Harvard Medical School Associate Professor, and founder of Center for Anxiety. The book addresses readers who live with anxiety, worry, panic, or persistent fear, as well as people who want to understand anxiety in loved ones. Its central purpose is not to promise a life without anxiety, but to change the reader's relationship to it. Rosmarin presents anxiety as a human signal that can be interpreted, managed, and redirected toward growth. Through 9 practical tools, he argues that anxiety can support self-knowledge, resilience, emotional closeness, spiritual reflection, and purposeful action. The book belongs to the contemporary evidence-informed self-help category, but its emphasis is distinctive. Anxiety is not treated only as a symptom to suppress, but as material that can reveal values, vulnerabilities, and opportunities for change. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, anxiety is reframed as useful information rather than a defect to eliminate. A central idea in Thriving with Anxiety is that anxiety becomes more damaging when people treat it as proof that something is wrong with them. Rosmarin challenges the common goal of total anxiety removal, arguing instead that anxiety can function as an alert system. This does not mean that anxiety is always accurate or pleasant. Rather, it means that anxious feelings often point toward perceived threat, uncertainty, personal vulnerability, or something the person values. By interpreting anxiety as information, the reader can respond with curiosity instead of automatic avoidance. This reframing matters because shame and resistance often intensify anxiety. If a person believes that anxiety itself is unacceptable, then ordinary fear becomes a secondary problem involving self-blame and panic about being anxious. Rosmarin's approach shifts attention from defeating anxiety to asking what it is revealing. The practical effect is a more flexible response. Anxiety can be noticed, evaluated, and used without being allowed to control every decision. Secondly, self-awareness and self-acceptance are treated as foundations for resilience. The book connects anxiety with self-knowledge by showing that anxious reactions often expose hidden assumptions, needs, and limits. Instead of viewing these discoveries as weaknesses, Rosmarin presents them as starting points for maturity. Anxiety may reveal perfectionism, fear of rejection, over-control, avoidance of conflict, or difficulty tolerating uncertainty. The value of recognizing these patterns is practical. People cannot change habits they refuse to see. Self-acceptance is therefore not presented as passive resignation, but as a realistic acknowledgement of one's emotional life. When a person can admit fear without contempt, the fear becomes more workable. This framework also supports resilience because it reduces the energy spent on denial. A resilient person is not someone who never feels anxious, but someone who can function honestly while anxious. Rosmarin's method encourages readers to build strength by integrating anxiety into self-understanding. Rather than splitting life into acceptable calm moments and unacceptable anxious ones. Thirdly, anxiety is linked to deeper relationships through honesty and compassion. A notable dimension of the book is its claim that anxiety can improve relationships when handled openly. Anxiety often pushes people toward hiding, reassurance seeking, irritability, or withdrawal. These reactions can make relationships narrower because the anxious person tries to manage appearances rather than communicate experience. Rosmarin suggests a different use of anxiety. It can become a doorway into emotional intimacy. When people acknowledge fear, uncertainty, or need in a responsible way, others may understand them more accurately. This can reduce isolation and increase mutual compassion. The same principle also helps readers relate to others who are anxious. Instead of judging fear as irrational or inconvenient, they can see it as part of human vulnerability. This relational emphasis distinguishes the book from anxiety guides that focus mainly on individual symptom control. The point is not to make anxiety socially desirable, but to show that honest engagement with it can create more authentic connection than avoidance, performance, or emotional concealment. Fourthly, the inner CEO concept emphasizes agency while anxiety is still present. Rosmarin uses the idea of an inner CEO to describe the capacity to make decisions even when anxiety is active. This is an important corrective to the belief that action must wait until fear disappears. Many anxious people postpone choices, conversations, risks, or goals because they assume that discomfort means they are not ready. The book argues that anxiety need not be the executive authority in a person's life. Instead, the reader can notice anxious signals while still choosing behavior based on values, responsibilities, and long-term aims. This is a practical model of agency. The goal is not emotional numbness, but leadership over one's responses. The inner CEO framing also helps separate feeling from command. Anxiety may say that a situation is dangerous or intolerable, but the person can evaluate that message rather than obey it automatically. This approach supports goal pursuit because meaningful ambitions often involve uncertainty, exposure to judgment, and the possibility of failure. Lastly, spiritual reflection and acceptance of uncertainty broaden the book beyond symptom management. Thriving with anxiety includes attention to spiritual connection, virtues, and acceptance of life, which gives the book a broader scope than many clinical self-help manuals. Rosmarin's interest in spirituality and mental health informs this dimension, though the book is positioned as a practical guide rather than a sectarian text. Anxiety frequently arises when people confront limits they cannot control outcomes, guarantee safety, prevent loss, or know the future. A purely technical approach may teach coping skills, but leave these larger questions untouched. By addressing acceptance, humility, meaning, and connection, the book treats anxiety as part of the human condition rather than only a malfunction. This perspective can be especially useful for readers whose anxiety is tied to uncertainty, mortality, responsibility, or moral concerns. The spiritual element does not replace psychological tools, it widens the frame. It suggests that some anxiety can invite reflection on dependence, purpose, compassion, and the limits of control. In conclusion, Thriving with Anxiety is best suited for readers who want a constructive, clinically informed approach to anxiety without being told that the only acceptable outcome is complete calm. It may be helpful for people with chronic worry, fear of uncertainty, social anxiety, or high self-criticism, as well as for family members, friends, coaches, and helping professionals seeking a more compassionate language for anxiety. Its practical benefit lies in helping readers reinterpret anxious feelings, reduce shame, communicate more honestly, and keep pursuing meaningful goals while discomfort remains present. Its intellectual benefit is the shift from a pathology-only model toward a more integrated view of anxiety as signal, vulnerability, and potential catalyst. Compared with many anxiety books that emphasize relaxation, cognitive correction, or symptom reduction alone, Rosmarin's book stands out by combining clinical practicality with relational and spiritual dimensions. It does not deny the burden of anxiety, but it resists defining the anxious person by impairment. Readers looking for a strict diagnostic workbook or a substitute for therapy may need additional resources. Readers looking for a humane, structured, and empowering reinterpretation of anxiety will find its central argument clear and useful. Anxiety can be managed not only by fighting it, but by learning how to use what it reveals. If you would like to support David H. Rosmarin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.